Good morning. It's good to be with you here this morning. If you want to turn with me to Proverbs chapter 2, we're going to be looking at that today. It's not really a Father's Day message, but I think if we want to be a good father, if we listen to this message, if we do what this passage says, we will be good fathers. Proverbs chapter 2. We're going to be reading the whole chapter here, and there's going to be a little, right after I'm done, Tim is going to be putting up a slide that is actually a riddle. And the answer to the riddle is in our passage today. So listen along as we go. And for all of you that were in my class in VBS, you know the answer, so don't pop right out and say it, okay? And while I'm at it, I want to put in a plug a little bit for doing things that are out of your comfort zone. I'm leaving the message here just for a second. I was thinking about this as I was sitting down there and thinking about this riddle. I did something this year that took me way out of my comfort zone, and that was to teach the 13 and 14-year-old class. About a week before, I was wondering why I had said I would do this, because it scared me to teach 13 and 14-year-olds. It's hard. You know, it's maybe a little easier to teach younger kids, but 13, 14, they're pretty smart kids. And so I texted, I need to know how many stuff I need to print out. And I was, all along, I had imagined from years past that I'd be teaching 5 or 6 students. So that's not as intimidating. I texted Justin. I said, hey, Justin, how many of these things do I need to print out on my handouts and stuff? And he said, well, 18 to 22. And I texted back. I said, you're kidding, all right? He said, no, that's what we're planning on. Then I got really nervous. But we did have, actually, I think our highest night was 16. Had a great group of kids, and I actually enjoyed it. I was amazed. I actually enjoyed it. It was a good group of kids. I enjoyed teaching the class. And so if you'd have told me that the week before, I'd have said, no, ain't going to happen. But I enjoyed it. So it's just a plug to put in. Sometimes we need to do those things that we're scared of doing, and we actually find enjoyment in it and grow in it. And it was a growing experience for me. But so just putting a plug in there to sometimes do those things that we don't want to do, that seem rather difficult. So it actually gave me part of what my message is going to be today. So for those of you that were in my class, don't say the answer to the riddle, but you can. I'll ask for an answer and somebody can give it out then. But let's go ahead and read Proverbs chapter 2. Again, talking about wisdom and the value of wisdom. My son, if you receive my words and treasure my commands within you, so that you incline your ear to wisdom and apply your heart to understanding. Yes, if you cry out for discernment and lift up your voice for understanding, if you seek her as silver and search for her as for hidden treasures, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth come knowledge and understanding. He stores up sound wisdom for the upright. He is a shield to those who walk uprightly. He guards the paths of justice and preserves the way of his saints. Then you will understand righteousness and justice, equity and every good path. When wisdom enters your heart and knowledge is pleasant to your soul, discretion will preserve you, understanding will keep you, to deliver you from the way of evil, from the man who speaks perverse things, from those who leave the paths of uprightness, to walk in the ways of darkness, who rejoice in doing evil and delight in the perversity of the wicked, whose ways are crooked and who are devious in their paths, to deliver you from the immoral woman, from the seductress who flatters with her words, who forsakes the companion of her youth and forgets the covenant of her God. For her house leads down to death and her paths to the dead. None who go to her return, nor do they regain the paths of life. So you may walk in the way of goodness and keep to the paths of righteousness. For the upright will dwell in the land and the blameless will remain in it, but the wicked will be cut off from the earth, and the unfaithful will be uprooted from it. So here's the riddle. Let's see if you can figure out the answer. You will seek me, you will find me when you search with all your heart. But even if you do not look, you will still find me in part. The more you have, the more you miss. Or it has the idea of the more you have, the more you know you don't have. You realize you don't have. But those without may call it bliss. Use me now and think. Think hard. Maybe you will feel real smart. Anybody in my class? Go ahead, Rain.
Knowledge.
You will seek me, you will find me when you search with all your heart. And we'll look at some of this today. The one that gives it away is, but those without may call it bliss. We say ignorance is bliss, right? Ignorance is bliss. The opposite of ignorance is knowledge. Okay, Tim, you can shut that off. So we wanted, and it really stuck out to me in verse 6, and we're going to get to this. Verse 5. Then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. And that really is what we want to do in life, is to find the knowledge of God. And so let's look at that. Let's go ahead and start out here with verse 1. And I have titled my message, True Treasure. And verse 1 gives us that answer. My son, if you receive my words and treasure my commands within you, is receive, is the idea to take. If you take my words and put them in your heart, if you treasure something, you hide it. You put it away so nobody can steal it. It has the idea here of treasure, putting God's commands in our heart. My son, if you receive my words and treasure my commands within you, we treasure God's commands. In order for them to be a treasure, they have to be more valuable to us than the latest fad or the latest thing to follow. His commands have to be more important than our own desires. And how do we know God's words and his commands? We know those by his word, by his inspired and inerrant word, the Bible. And just a few things, the passages that tell us what his word does for us. Hebrews 4:12 says, for the word of God is living and powerful. And that's the one thing, I've read a lot of books in my life. A lot of books in my life. Hundreds, actually. More than I probably should have. But the Bible is the only book that you can read 100 times and find something new in it every time. Other books, you'll just have them memorized. There's other good books, maybe of philosophy or how things work, but there is no book that is a living and powerful. It says, and it's sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of the soul and the spirit. We see the Bible doing that when we read it and dig into it. It looks deep into our heart and it can see where we're at, and of the joints and the marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. 2 Timothy 3:16, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. And that has been my, I guess, as I was looking at Proverbs, and I think of Proverbs and the wisdom that it brings, that it talks about, my biggest heart has, guess, I've been for the youth. Because I'm old enough now that I have seen youth make good choices, and I've seen youth make bad choices, and I've seen the consequences of those things. So my heart's desire, if there's anything I could impart to our youth, is to make good choices. And those good choices, those good decisions are made by following Christ. I've seen so many people, and I see the consequences of it, not just for the people making the choices, but then their families and their children, and the life that their children have to live because of the consequences for the choices that the parents made. And they made those choices way back, started making those choices when they were youth. And then I've seen people that have made choices to follow Christ and to live that way and to see where their life goes and to see the blessing that they are to their children and to those around them and the life that they lead. It's not necessarily a perfect life. It's not the prosperity gospel where you follow Christ and you'll be a millionaire and you'll have everything you need. But there is a peace in their heart. And praise God that we can start over anywhere in life. Doesn't mean that if we make bad decisions as youth, if we made 1 or 2 or 3 or 4 or 10, that we can't start anew. We can start anew when we're 60. Praise God for that. But all the pain and the suffering that could be saved by making the choice to follow Christ early would be my desire. It's one of the reasons that I looked at Proverbs is to share those and to just get them deeper into my heart also, but to share those. And Psalm 119 in the ESV says this, how can a young man keep his way pure? By guarding it according to your word. By guarding your heart with God's word. And that's how a young man can keep his way pure. Psalm 119:105 says, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Matthew 7:24, therefore whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. Again, this is what God does when we listen to him. He helps us to build on the rock. It says, I will liken them to the wise man who built his house on the rock. The man had built the house. God didn't build the house. Man built the house, but he built it according to God's word. And then it stood. When the rain came, when the floods came and the winds blew, all kinds of things came to beat down this house, and it stood strong. Deuteronomy 30:15. See, I have set before you today life and good, death and evil, and that I command you today to love the Lord your God, to walk in his ways and to keep his commandments and his statutes and his judgments, that you may live and multiply. And the idea of live there has the idea to live with a joyous heart, with a joyous spirit, to truly live. And so when we see that, keep his commandments, his statutes, his judgments, we go back to verse 1 here and we say, my son, if you receive my words and treasure my commands within you, if we do those things, if we see God's word, if we see, so many times we see God's commands as, oh, I have to do that? Do I have to really follow that? We don't see him as a treasure. We see him as rules. We see him as something we have to do. But when we treasure these things, understanding that they will give us the wisdom and the knowledge that we need, and that's what we're going to look at as we go here. Looking at verse 2. So that you incline your heart to wisdom. So what happens when we really treasure God's commands? It says, if you receive my words and treasure my commands within you, so that you incline your ears to wisdom. When we really treasure God's commands, our ears start to listen for wisdom and apply your heart to understanding. Incline has the idea of prick your ears, prick up your ears. You know, we say that, my last message we talked about, wisdom is calling. Wisdom is not that hard to find. It's calling in the out in the streets. But we can so easily ignore it. But here he's saying, once you treasure God's word and once you treasure his commands, when you hear wisdom calling, you prick your ears. You know, when you see a dog and you call his name, he pricks his ears. Kind of. That's what happens. You listen. You listen up whenever something comes up about it. You study the map. You know, I think about this as being a treasure, as a treasure hunt. You know, if we really want something, if we're going to look for something, we have to believe that it's a treasure, right? I'm not going to spend a lot of time looking for something that I don't believe is a treasure. I'm not going to spend a lot of time there. We have to first believe that it is a treasure. And so if I truly believe that there's a treasure out there to be found, when people start talking about something about it, I'm going to listen. I'm going to hear, I'm going to, if there's a map, I'm going to study it. So wisdom, we said, is calling in the streets. And in this application, we start quit ignoring wisdom, and we stop and we listen. You quit being distracted by the world's fake treasures. So often, that's what happens. We're more concerned about what's going on over here. We have other things that we treasure in our hearts, and we ignore wisdom. So the first thing that happens when we start treasuring God's commands, God's word, is that we start listening to wisdom. We start trying to find out more about it. It says we apply our hearts to understanding. Verse 3, yes, if you cry out for discernment and lift up your voice for understanding. Cry out has the idea of calling out by name. You know, hey, Dustin, I heard about this. What about that? Hey, Ryan. And you ask and you're excited. You want to find out more about it. Lift up your voice. You talk out. And this treasure, you want it enough that just listening for it and studying the map is not enough. You start asking questions. Where can I find this treasure? What is this treasure? Where can I find it? You ask a lot of questions. You talk to people that could give you any possible information about this treasure. You know, many people say, I don't have to go to church to be a Christian. But there's so many things that I would miss out of if I wouldn't come to church. Coming to church and sitting under the preaching of the Word. Sitting in Sunday school and talking through passages of Scripture. I love doing that. Enjoy doing that. Helps me to understand and to grasp those different things. Even men's meetings. Now, sometimes we don't enjoy those. Even the last men's meeting we had helped me to see and to understand some things. And I enjoyed that. We discussed things. So as we go to church, as we go to Sunday school, we do these things. It has helped me and helps us to find discernment and understanding as we go about, as we ask questions. You know, Proverbs 27:17 says, as iron sharpens iron, so a man sharpens the countenance of his friend. You cry out for discernment. You ask around. Verse 4, if you seek her as silver and search for her as hidden treasures. Seek has the idea to search out by basically any method. Anything, you're willing to do just about anything to find this treasure. Has the idea of to ask, to beg, you know, all kinds of things. You're doing whatever you can to find this treasure. It's not a half-hearted search. It's not open a book and wow, there it is. Or, well, I guess I couldn't find it. I'm not going to look anymore. You go looking for it. You dig. You're willing to dig. You're willing to dig over here. You're willing to dig over there. You're willing to look at every nook and cranny to find this treasure. We're looking for discernment. We're looking for understanding. We're looking for wisdom. Matthew 5:6 says, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. And that's the wonderful promise that God gives us, that if we search for Him, if we search for His wisdom, He'll give it to us. He doesn't hide it from us. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. And again, this does not have the idea of just, you know, what's the word I want? Glushti is the word in Dutch, but I'm trying to think what the word is. It's not just, well, I'm kind of, you know, I could eat some if I had it. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. It's the same word that is, the hunger is the same word that is used in Matthew 4 when it talks about Jesus. And he said when he had fasted for 40 days and 40 nights, afterwards he was hungry. You think he was just lusty? Maybe, I could snack on something. Yeah. That's not what the hunger and thirst after righteousness is talking about. It's about hunger, like you haven't eaten for 40 days. I'm starving. I'm hungry. I want this. If you seek her as silver and search for her as for hidden treasures, that's the kind of searching we do. That's the kind of hungering we do. And nowhere in this passage, or anywhere in the Bible, I believe, do we get the idea that knowledge and wisdom are a miraculous gift. That it just, you know, I accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, and boom, I have all the knowledge and wisdom that's there. That when we somehow accept God, He mysteriously and somehow gives us this wisdom and knowledge. No, we look for it. We dig into His Word, and we find it. But many today are looking for a sign or a miracle that tells them that they are in the know with God. They don't want to put in the time. They don't want to search. They don't want to dig. They just want to have it now. They want to get the wisdom of God by some special work. They want a special revelation. Don't make me look in here. God is just going to tell me. I'm going to pray. Nothing wrong with praying. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. I'm going to walk across coals of fire. I'm not going to eat for a week. I'm not going to eat for a month to try to get this. And don't read God's word. I'm sorry, that's the wrong answer. It's the wrong answer. It is in God's word that we find His wisdom, and it takes digging in into it. But they want some special revelation. In the story of the rich man and Lazarus, he wanted Abraham to send Lazarus back, raise him from the dead, and send him back and tell his brothers about hell. He said, if you would send him back, then that will be good. This is what Abram said, Luke 16. Abram said to him, they have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. And he said, no, Father Abraham, but if one goes to them from the dead, they will repent. But he said to him, if they do not hear Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rise from the dead. We have everything we need. We don't need a special revelation to see God's wisdom. We have it right here. He's given it to us. And we see it happening a lot, the Bethel movement, some weird stuff that goes on there. One of those is they call it grave sucking or grave soaking. I don't know if you've heard about it. I hope you never practice it. I hope you never try this. It is a process by which someone lays on the grave of a deceased Christian in order to absorb their anointing. Doesn't that sound like you're wanting something without working for it? That dead person, that Christian, had an anointing because he dug in and he was working for God, and God gave him that anointing. How do I know? How am I worthy of that anointing by laying on that grave? I'm not worthy. It doesn't make any sense, but we want a free ride. We want to have all the knowledge and the wisdom of God without having to search for it. We just want it given to us. But what does God say? What happens when we diligently seek after God? When we do the work, when we dig into His Word, it leads us to the giver of wisdom. As we look at verse 5, if we do these things, if we're seeking, it says, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. When we dig into His Word, when we search it, when we seek it like a lost treasure, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. I think we'll know our Father. We'll follow. And He wants to give us, we're looking at verse 6 then, and He wants to give us that. For the Lord gives wisdom. From His mouth come knowledge and understanding. These things you are searching for come from the very mouth of God. So seeking them draws you to the source. When we seek after wisdom and knowledge, godly wisdom, it draws us to God because it takes us to the source, which is God. For the Lord gives wisdom. From His mouth come knowledge and understanding. He stores up sound wisdom, verse 7, for the upright. He's a shield to those who walk uprightly. He guards the paths of justice and preserves the way of His saints. Then you will understand righteousness and justice and equity in every good way. God is there for us. He stores up sound wisdom for the upright. And what did we say wisdom is? Let me see if I can get my exact definition here. Wisdom, instruction. He stores up instruction on how to carefully consider all circumstances and possible consequences. He helps us to see those things. He's a shield to those who walk uprightly. He guards the paths of justice and preserves the way of His saints. When we find godly wisdom, we will have true understanding of righteousness, justice, and equity. When we find wisdom, godly wisdom. Not the world's idea of righteousness, justice, and equity. And we're seeing the twistedness of that happening in the world today with all the things that are happening with critical race theory and all that stuff that's happening in our society today. Not the world's idea of righteousness and justice and equity. That is often twisted and often very unjust and very inequitable because of the life experience of the people making the rules. In order for a correct view of righteousness and justice and equity, you need to start at a base that never changes, that has been the same for eternity, and was put in place by the person that is the Father of righteousness, justice, and equity. And that is our God, our Father. He put all those in place. We need to use that as our base. It gets crazy when we walk away from God and His righteousness. Maybe I'll talk about it here in a little bit. In one of the videos we watched in VBS, we watched about a half hour's video. He gave clips of a man, Todd Friel, that went to college campuses and asked people questions. It is crazy what people believe, and it is unbelievable where these have to go. So one of them was, and this doesn't have to do, it has to do, I guess, a little bit with righteousness, justice, and equity, but he sat between two young men in college that later in the video found out were supposedly Christians. He said, that store over there says no pets allowed. I feel like in my heart I'm a dog. Am I allowed to go in that store? You know what their answer was? No, you probably shouldn't. You probably shouldn't go in that store if you feel like you're a dog. Dude, the guy's a man. He's a human being. And they did not have the courage to tell him that, no, you are not a dog. Can you imagine the consequences of that? If this guy now leaves and says, I'm a dog, how does he treat his family? How does he go through life thinking he's a dog? It's crazy. And that's when we get away from God's word. We have nothing to base anything on. 2 + 2 = 7. It's another one he asked. Well, the guy said, well, it can be for you. No, it can't. No, it can't. 2 + 2 cannot be 7. Well, yeah, it can be. Orange is an objective color. Did you know that? It's only orange if you think it's orange. It's not good. What happens when you get away from the Word of God? That wisdom. And so, do you think these people can make good choices in life when they have, when that's their view of life? There's no way they can make good choices. So we need to dig in. We need to look at God's Word. We need to look for His wisdom. So, verse 10 says, when wisdom enters your heart and knowledge is pleasant to your soul. So when we have dug in and are doing the searching, and searching for wisdom isn't a once and done deal. We're not like, okay, I'm going to put aside 2 years of my life and I'm just going to dig into the Word of God and then I'll have all the wisdom I need. No, it's a lifelong process. But it is, when we make wisdom a treasure, it starts changing and affecting our life. When wisdom enters your heart and knowledge is pleasant to your soul, godly knowledge is pleasant to your soul, discretion will preserve you, understanding will keep you. And this is what it will help you do. It will deliver you from the way of evil, from the man who speaks perverse things, from those who leave the paths of uprightness to walk in the way of darkness. And so we're talking about here about people that have left, that knew the truth and have left. And I'm going to read here from, it says here in verse 12, from the man who speaks perverse things. So this is the man that knew right and has walked away from it. And it will, knowing God's word will protect you from that man. But this is, I'm going to read here something from Adam Clark. And Adam Clark died in 1832. But what he's saying here would speak clearly to us today. So I would say there's nothing, the Bible says there's nothing new in the world. This proves it. So it's from the man who speaks perverse things. And this is what he says about it. Men who wish to subvert the state of things, whether civil or religious, who are rebellious themselves and wish to make others so. These speak much of liberty and oppression. Does that sound familiar today? Deal greatly in broad assertions. Does that sound familiar for today? And endeavor especially to corrupt the minds of youth. Does that sound familiar today? This was said by a man in 1832. There's nothing new under the sun. We need God's word to protect us from these things. And this is what it says happens. When wisdom enters your heart and knowledge is pleasant to your soul, discernment will preserve you. Understanding will keep you, to deliver you from the way of evil, from the man who speaks perverse things, from the rebellious person. For those who leave the paths of uprightness to walk in the way of darkness, Matthew Henry says this, they are themselves apostates, talking about these people, from that which is good, and such are commonly the most malicious and dangerous enemies religion has. And we often see that. People that have left the faith, they leave the paths of uprightness, which they were trained up in and had set out in, shake off the influence of their education and break off the thread of their hopeful beginnings to walk in the ways of darkness, in those wicked ways which hate the light, in which men are led blindfold by ignorance and error, which lead men into utter darkness. So when we gain wisdom and understanding, it protects us from these people, helps us to see them for who they really are. Wisdom, instruction how to carefully consider all circumstances and possible consequences. It gives us the wisdom to do that, to see those things. Verse 14, who rejoice in doing evil and delight in the perversity of the wicked, whose ways are crooked and who are devious in their paths. And the second thing that delivers us from, verse 16, to deliver you from the immoral woman, from the seductress who flatters with her words, who forsakes the companion of her youth and forgets the covenant of her God. For her house leads down to death and her paths to the dead. Wisdom will keep you from the immoral woman. The wisdom of God and the knowledge of God. You know, this is a sin that defiles the body also. The former leads to spiritual wickedness, the one that we talked about that walked away, and the lust of the mind. But this leads to fleshly lusts that defile the body of the living temple of God. And verse 19, when I read verse 19, is a terrifying verse, in all honesty. None who go to her turn, nor do they regain the paths of life. This is something that we need to run from. This is something that we can't stand and fight, I believe. It's one of the things that the Bible teaches us, don't try to fight sexual temptation. We need to run from it. We need to get help. We don't try to stand there and fight it. It's not something. There is something about it. And I think it's the way that God made us to be one. But when a man and a woman get into a relationship that's not right, it is almost impossible to break. And we've experienced that here in our church, not just too long ago. Even though they know what is right, it is so hard to turn away from it. The only way to win, and only, there's always an exception, the only way to win is to never go there. That's the safest way, is to never go there. When we treasure God's commands and seek the wisdom they give us, we will be able to carefully consider all circumstances and possible consequences and avoid the traps that Satan puts out there for us. Verse 20, so you may walk in the way of goodness and keep to the paths of righteousness. When we treasure God's word, when we treasure his commands, we will seek out those things and we'll live them diligently. So that you may walk in the way of goodness and keep to the paths of righteousness. For the upright will dwell in the land and the blameless will remain in it. But the wicked will be cut off from the earth and the unfaithful will be uprooted from it. So what leads us through this life safely? It's the commands of God. How do we know the commands of God? We know them by reading his word, by studying his word, digging into his word, searching it out. When we realize the treasure that God's word is, we will study to understand the wisdom and the knowledge that is in it. This will bring us to the true giver of wisdom and knowledge, God, who will then freely give us that wisdom and knowledge, which will then direct our steps and give us wisdom to keep us walking in the paths of righteousness. So I encourage you to do that, to dig into God's word as youth. You know, sometimes there's so many things that seem to be more important in life, even as a young adult. I still find that true. And I still find it hard. There's so many things that are distracting, are easy to distract us from. I didn't want to say middle-aged, okay? Not quite there yet. Maybe I am. Sometimes we deny things that we know are true, right? So I say middle-aged. But dig into God's word. I encourage you, youth, to do that and to study and to his wisdom and find people that you can be accountable to. Somebody that will, you know, would lead you in the paths of righteousness. Let's stand. We'll have a word of prayer. Father, I thank you this morning for your word. Father, I just praise you so much for the word that you've given us. Lord, you're not trying to hide from us. You're not trying to keep us in the dark. Lord, you've given us everything we need to study you, Lord. And in this day and age, in this time of your creation, we have it more readily available probably than ever in history. And yet, Lord, many people choose to ignore it, to deny it. And Lord, help us this morning to see it as the treasure that it truly is. Lord, a treasure that we never want to give up, a treasure that we want to seek daily and learn more about. Lord, it's a treasure that never keeps giving. Lord, when we dig up one piece of treasure, Lord, we know there's more there. And we just thank you this morning for your word. Lord, help us to find the time to look into your word. Help us to find a time to think things through. Lord, help us to not make decisions hastily, but to use your word and your guidance to direct us in our paths. Lord, help us to be a shining light as we go to those around us. Lord, as we work with them, as we meet them in the streets. Lord, that we can be a shining light for you. In Jesus' name, amen.